Hi, everybody. Welcome to Who Cares About the Rock Hall, a podcast about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm your host, Joe Quazala. I know entirely too much about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It is my burden and curse, but it is the premise of the show, and that's probably why you're listening. Or perhaps you're listening to hear the chimings in of my co-host, the skeptic, the voice of the people, the little devil on my shoulder, Kristen Studdard. Hey, Kristen.
Hi, Joe. We were talking about our last names off air right before this, and I just put mine into the search bar. And you know what? I'm the one that comes up. They put Ruben Studdard up there first with the two D's, but if you spell it the way that I spell it, you're getting me, baby. You're
Second most popular Studdard in the world on this show on a weekly basis. Congrats. We're in the thick of Rock Hall ballot season. We're doing our artist episodes. We've even got our Patreon going, patreon.com/rockhallpod, talking to official Rock Hall voters about their ballots. We're in the swing of it, and let's keep it going with a return guest. Very excited to have her back. She's a writer, frequent contributor to the New York Times. Last we talked to her, we were talking about Dolly Parton right before Dolly attempted to remove her name from contention. But most importantly, this guest is the saint who recommended this very podcast in the New York Times newsletter. Lindsay Zolads, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me back.
I mean, at the very least, just to on-air thank you for, I think I'm going to go ahead and say like the nicest thing anyone's ever done to this show.
Yes, for the show, yes. I think that I'm like, you getting a ballot is also up there.
Right. But in terms of publicity.
The Joe personal favor, this is a show, wow, and thank you.
Yeah, what a kind thing.
I was happy to do it. Yeah. And it was for a newsletter I wrote about the inductees last year and right. The amount of just sort of like, boomers getting mad at things I said about the Rock Hall, like wasn't even anything incendiary or whatever. Just, I sort of feel your guys' pain of there's a weird level of, I don't know if it's backlash or just like conversation.
Yeah.
You might even, like, it's like, call, like,
The kind view is like, it's conversation. It's like, everyone has an opinion. Everyone has a strong feeling whether they think they do or not. It's like, it is odd how much this institution can like cause conversation.
That's yeah.
The nice way
conversation is the nice odd way to yeah. put it. The way I was going to put it was dog whistle, which is maybe a little more harsh, but it really like, yeah, this, it riles people up. Any like, cause I've written about the Rock Hall for like Vulture and I've gotten psychotic like Facebook DMs and like people really, I think, cause it's difficult to parse out and to admit that you have preferences that are subjective.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's like, I think almost it's like the term rock and roll is almost like contains its own dog whistle where it's like, yeah. What do you think rock and roll, what that means to you is like going to heavily influence like what you think about this institution.
Yeah. Anyway, we don't need to dwell on that for, you know, fear of causing more. Lindsay, last we talked to you was about Dolly Parton. What did you watch her induction and what did you think about all that?
I did not watch her induction actually, but I, you know, we taped that episode before, as you mentioned, the, you know, she tried to rescind her name from the ballot and then she left it on and she got in and there was a lot of drama. And I'm happy that she's in, and I have listened to her incredibly long, album that resulted from all of this, Rockstar.
It's like, you didn't watch your induction, but you listened to that album. So it's almost, you know, you've done your time.
I think so. I've done like 3 hours because that's about how long that album is with all the bonus tracks and stuff.
And it's a covers album with a lot of rock focused guests. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. It has so many songs, but, you know, it's Dolly. So
she had some catching up to do, I guess.
She did. She had to rock out, I guess. But a very successful album for her, though. I think it was mm-hmm. either her highest debut on the charts or something like that. So God bless.
Yeah, totally. And
Couldn't have happened without the Rock Hall.
I think
Well, and
that's
then she
true.
just put out a song with Pitbull. I haven't listened to that yet either, but it's called Powerful Women.
Ooh,
It's for
interesting
the
choice.
Daytona 500. And I think it's out.
Wow.
No, I'm looking at it right now.
You're looking at, yeah, I saw the tweet. I didn't know there was, I assumed there was a song, but I did not know that was the name of the song.
The picture was really getting the meme
It's,
treatment, like
yeah.
mother and father kind of but you know, it's funny, the Dolly induction doesn't contain a ton of her performing. Like she plays a new like kind of joke rock song that's very self aware. It's about getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I think it's like maybe a minute long. But then like every other song is someone else. It'll be like Brandi Carlile or Pink or somebody doing one of the songs. But then the real you know, kind of centerpiece and the grand finale
And
is
kind of the
this.
one of the big reasons you bring Dolly, you get Dolly in, is because everybody wants to do this with her, which is
Yeah,
the.
it's the jam. They did Jolene, and it's her and Sheryl Crow and Pat Benatar and Rob Halford and just about everybody who had been there that night, Brandi Carlile, like all taken a verse. I mean, and it's worth it alone for the image of her and Rob Halford like standing next to each other, belting
Oh,
their
yeah.
little hearts
Oh
out.
yeah, I think he's on the album too.
It would make
She
sense.
must have just like had a recording studio like in her tour bus that she was like going to all these things for. I was like, do you want to just cut a track after this? Like, let's go.
I mean,
So
that's the recruitment. That's the place to do it, is at that
yeah.
ceremony. I mean, like I w would imagine, I'm like, is Dave Grohl on the album? It feels like he would have to be. But I know he was there.
Yeah, there. I don't even. Again, there's so many songs on this album that I can't even. I
Yeah.
can remember like,
Good Lord. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm just, we've got, you know, ballot, new to the ballot this year. Peter Frampton is on there. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, we're looking at 30 tracks here, aren't we? And if we're not even talking about the deluxe edition.
Oh boy,
But
I would.
Benatar, who and Simon Le Bon, these are two people she probably scooped up at that ceremony.
I think, yeah, I think she had like a studio booked and was like, what are you guys doing after this? Like, want to be on my album, and who's gonna say no?
I mean, if anyone could pull it off, it's Dolly. But listen, Dolly was inducted 2 years ago. We don't need to.
Yeah.
We can move on from that. We've talked about Dolly enough.
This year's legend.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's just talk about the ballot. Let's play. Lindsay Zoladz has a Rock Hall ballot. If you could choose up to seven names on this thing, who do you think you would choose?
So I wrote them down
Okay, so out of
here.
the gate, who shoots the top of the list?
Well, it's going to be Cher,
Of
which
course.
is, spoiler.
Reason
That's
for the
who we're
season.
gathered here today to discuss. I also would put Mariah Carey on my
Yeah.
ballot. Like, let's go. Eric B. and Rakim seems like they should be in. Kool and the Gang.
Very good.
Have they been nominated before? Is
No,
this
they
their
haven't.
first?
This
Okay.
is their first nomination. I found it to be criminal enough that while we were in hiatus, in the cover of Night, I recorded a case for Kool and the Gang, hoping that maybe it would help their chances. And am I going to take credit? Absolutely.
If they
It's all
get in.
you.
I mean, they showed back up on the ballot. Joe, you know
Showed up
that
for the
you.
first time on the ballot.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yes.
Yeah.
Totally. Yes. That's what I meant.
I would also vote for Oasis just to piss off Liam Gallagher because he's like been publicly saying how he doesn't want to get in the Rock Hall.
Yeah, he seems both angry and confused. I don't
Yeah.
fully know what he's talking about every time he says. He's also, I don't know what his relationship is with this patois that he's affected, but he has called it Bumbaclot.
Yeah.
I'm not
He's
going
like
there.
inventing new curse words to describe both the Rock Hall and his brother at all times. So, yeah, I just for the novelty factor of like
Sure.
what would Liam say, and would it reunite the band?
If
So that's
anything,
kind of my high concept one. I would put Ozzy in too. Seems
Okay.
like now's the time.
He's canceled all his shows. It would be nice to give him one last big moment.
Yeah. So I'm sure there's a lot of voters that are thinking that too, and he seems kind of like a shoe-in this year, but
I would say so. I think he
we'll
and
see.
Cher have the
Yeah, it's
name
going to be the
recognition.
icon.
Yeah. Yes, icon status.
So one that's tricky is like the kind of flip side of that is like I don't think Sinead O'Connor would have wanted to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like it's a weird, I think she, I'm sure you guys have discussed a part of this too, but like I think she has a very good chance of getting in this year just because of the recency of her passing, and she's a lot of people are thinking about her legacy, but like she also seems like someone even more so than Liam Gallagher that would be like kind of pissed to get in.
Yeah,
And
I
it's
think you're
one
right.
thing when that person's like still alive and can have, the reasons why they're protesting it. But I'm just like a little nervous at the thought of like the kind of industry celebration that she just seemed to hate so much, like happening without her and on her behalf. Like it just kind of, the thought of it makes me cringe a little bit. So that's why I did not vote for her, even
Yeah.
though she was awesome and,
Right. I'm probably going to vote for her, but it is complicated
Yeah,
because of
not
the
to have
things you
just
said.
guilted you into
No, I mean,
I
it's
think we
just
had a
like,
conversation about this, kind of on, was it an on voting
I
episode,
think
Joe, or?
so, but because it's just like, yeah, would she have wanted it? And there's something maybe a little bit gross about the timing of it, but also with the timing of it, it does feel like this is maybe going to be the best chance that she has to get in because of the momentum. And so it's a complicated thing to wrestle with here.
Yeah. And then finally, I would also vote for Tribe Called Quest again, which, despite mentioning them on my hypothetical ballot last year as well, they did not get in. So to try to make that difference again.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting. This is the first year with seven choices that you can make on the ballot. So I'm curious if that will make any difference at all. You would think it would because you don't have to be as strategic. You don't have to make the hard cuts. Like, I did not vote. I love Tribe so much, but strategically, I didn't vote for them last year because I felt like other artists could use my choice. But this year, it's not like I have to choose between the hip hop artists, right? Which is sometimes like one of the things you have to do when you don't have as many spots. But this year, you go for both. Why not? You have the room.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that like the seven is going to make this a more interesting class than it would have been if it was only five, because I think if you're just voting for five again, we can see kind of who are the big names, who are the people who are just more kind of hall friendly that are more likely to get those, if you have to make the hard cuts. I don't know. I get optimistic and then I get afraid of being optimistic, and that's where I'm at. I'm optimistic and afraid of being optimistic.
Okay. Yeah, that's about right. That seems appropriate for what we're dealing with. And I would say last year we had it was a good outcome in terms of surprises and people that we felt like should, it will Kate Bush finally, will this be the Bush push?
Oh,
And even even
I found
the
a way to say it again this year.
yeah, I didn't expect it. It kind of
I
happened
hate
organically, and I think you have to go with it.
it.
Anyway, we don't have to dwell on the past. I don't have to bring up Bush
Thank you.
again.
I'd like it if you didn't, to be
Yeah, I
honest.
know, and yet that's going to encourage me to try and find new ways to bring it up. But no, let's talk about the number one slot on your ballot this year, and potentially number one in your heart, Cher. And I would love to know your history with Cher. Potentially, she's one of those figures where the question of do you remember the first time you heard her might be a difficult one because of ubiquity and just kind of being a person, a queen of all media that like is just constantly around. But yeah, what like essentially the question is, if you can't answer that one, like what does she mean to you personally?
Well, the first question, yeah, I I can't really remember a time when I didn't know who Cher was, but the first historical Cher that comes to mind for me is like butt tattoo, turn back time Cher. Specifically that video where, she's wearing the thong and see-through pants and you see the tattoo on her butt, quite literally. An indelible image in popular culture, I think,
Absolutely.
still.
Shocking, even.
Yeah. And just dancing around this like very phallic ship thing, like a cannon or something. Like it's that video.
She's like
That's a video. That's how you
on
make
like
a
an
video.
air carrier, a naval ship, it's a
She's
bunch of
surrounded by sailors.
sailors,
She
yeah.
actually like had a set that recreated that when I saw her live a few years ago. Like she brought out like almost like the set from that video and
Unbelievable.
wore the outfit and everything. Like it was, she knows what the people want. But that era of Cher, like Heart of Stone era Cher, when her big like late 80s comeback, that's the first Cher that I remember. But certainly not the last. And what does Cher mean to me? So much. I think Cher is like such an awesome figure of resilience and kind of like transcending good taste in this way that is just like glorious and so fun. And honestly, like kind of inspiring too. Like genuinely, she just, the comebacks that she has been able to reenact, like up until the present moment, like she just does not stop. And I think it's interesting to think about like why she's not in the Rock Hall yet. But also like why this moment? 'Cause again, she has been eligible for so long and is, older than a lot of the other artists on the ballot even this year. So it's like she also had to wait. She's had to wait so long to be like taken seriously in so many different contexts that like this feels like a fitting time for her to get in, 'cause she has that kind of like underdog quality to her, even though she's like one of the most famous people in the world for the past like half century or something, like so yeah, that's Cher to me in a nutshell.
I was thinking about it like with the comebacks and everything and kind of the waiting so long for the solo, induction and stuff, and it's like a Tina Turner without the trauma kind of, thing of being so closely associated with her husband in her early career and then having the big 80s rock comeback and like the reimagining. And then, but then she had the third comeback as the like dance hit. Disco 90s kind of thing. And then now she's kind of a personality and an icon and like a Twitter, kind of icon
She
now.
has that aspect of certainly.
She's had so many reimaginings. But I was trying to think like, oh, did I know who Sonny and Cher was? And I don't think I did, but I knew, I like don't think I really knew who they were, but like I knew of the idea of Sonny and Cher. Like I remember like people would do like Halloween costumes as Sonny and Cher and stuff. And I was just like, they're hippies or whatever. And there was, I just looked this up really briefly. There was an, I'm a little bit older than probably both of you. And in the 80s, there was a lip sync show where kids would lip sync songs in costume. And it was like, I remember there was like a Hit the Road Jack one and stuff, but I just looked it up. It was called Putting on the Hits, which is a great name. But I remember seeing like a boy girl duo team do a lip sync to that. And I was like, I want to be on this show so bad. Like, I want lip sync might be my talent.
Finally, I figured it out.
But that might be my introduction to like Sonny and Cher as like the duo, But then I remember like the 80s music videos also being quite memorable.
Are they in as a duo? Are they in the hall? Okay.
No.
That
And I
was,
guess maybe
yeah.
that's like a big change as well. It's like that Ike and Tina were so inside respected by like people who, even if they knew that he was a shitty abuser, they were like, but Ike is a great musician, man. And you, like,
Yeah, I mean, like, and to that point, it's like there are arguments that like Ike Turner is one of the like pivotal figures in like creating the sound of rock and roll, which is like with Sonny, you know.
Sonny, also, there's a lot of great stuff that,
But you know, Sonny's no slouch,
yeah,
but
no, there, but he's not an icon. Like, Sonny is, known more for being the mayor of Palm Springs, I feel like.
yeah, and being a Republican congressman, I don't think he's known more for that, but that is part of his legacy.
Part of the story. I think
Yes.
an underrated writer and producer, though. I think the early Sonny and Cher songs like sound great and sound very distinct. And I think it's like a rare case where like he is like sort of underestimated as like the himbo in pop culture a little bit. Like I think some people just think that like neither of them wrote the songs, or I don't know, they've become this like cartoonish idea. And I think in a weird way, like he doesn't get enough credit for like making the sound of, especially the early Cher hits and the way her voice sounds on a record. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, 'cause he was instrumental to that. And so let's just kind of w walk our way up to the Cher solo career with a little bit of background. Now that we're talking about Sonny, you know, Cher was a SoCal girl who dropped out of school at 16, became a dancer at clubs on the Sunset Strip, just kind of out there looking for her big break, whatever that might be. And she met Sonny, who at the time was working for Phil Spector, and she was able to, you know, there are stories about like, you know, she was his maid. Like there's a few different stories about like how exactly they met and like what their relationship was. But kind of through meeting Sonny and then Phil Spector, she became a backup singer. And because this is, we're talking the, you know, mid 60s, Phil Spector, she's on some really amazing and kind of timeless records from that era. I think if you had to pick two, I mean, two of the best Phil Spector recordings, You've Lost That Love and Feeling by the Righteous Brothers and Be My Baby by the Ronettes, like two of the longest lasting, like most important songs of that era, I would say. And then her kind of soft launch as
I'm
a
just trying to like think. I'm like trying to hear her in those background vocals, though. Like, I mean, I know the Phil Spector blend is
the
not like,
wall. I mean, she's a brick in the wall, you know, so
she's a
it's
brick
like
in the wall.
I'm like, but you're not hearing the kind of like Cher in there. There's not the wobble isn't in
Yeah, I
there.
haven't
Like
really
it's
tried to listen,
yeah.
but again, it's
No,
that
I just
wall.
mean like I'm trying to imagine it. Like I'm hearing that song in my head, thinking like, could you pick out a Cher in that wall? No.
Yeah, listeners, let us know if there's a give us a time code, and we'll look it up. But the kind of there was a bit of a soft launch for Cher's solo career. She and it was at the height of Beatlemania in like 1964. She recorded a song called "Ringo, I Love You." With Spector, and it was under the name Bonnie Joe Mason.
Less good name, I'll say
Yeah,
it.
didn't really do much. And yeah, the name doesn't sound certainly as thrilling. She also used the pseudonym Sherilyn at a point, and she did, it was
Sherilyn is her, oh, but Sherilyn is her full first name. Yes.
yes, but
Yeah.
just Sherilyn was
Oh, okay.
the artist name for another unsuccessful single, which was called Dream Baby.
I'm gonna
And around this time, she and Sonny are getting close, and eventually they get involved romantically. And the story is she wanted to launch, he wanted her to launch a solo career, but she was nervous and she was afraid to do it alone, and so he was like, I will join you on stage. And so that was never really the plan. It was more like a contingency plan so that she wouldn't have stage fright, that she could have someone she trusted with her on stage. And that first initially they were called Caesar and Cleo.
I think if you didn't know Sonny and Cher, you might be like Season Clee. Like, I don't know.
Season
That's
Cleese.
Season
like
Cleese.
what?
But yeah, no, I mean, they tried that, and eventually Sonny and Cher. And I think that, you know, the way we were talking, we were comparing it to like Ike and Tina. There's some similarities in the sense that I think for both of these duos, everyone imagines it was the duo and then the woman went solo. But kind of for both, and certainly for Sonny and Cher, they were putting out Cher solo records concurrently with the Sonny and Cher output. Because I think, again, it's like, I think Sonny knew like Cher is who people are going to want to show up for. And it's almost like a lark that the Sonny and Cher stuff was doing so well, but they're consistently trying to get Cher as a solo artist off the ground while this is all happening.
Yeah, I love a lot of the Cher solo records from this time. There's like she did a couple of Bob Dylan covers in like the mid 60s that I think her first like charting hit was her cover of All I Really Want to Do. Awesome. And she does, I have a record of hers where she there's a cover of like Rolling Stone, which is, I highly recommend if you haven't heard it. But yeah, those were Cher solo hits. One of them at least was a hit. So that's my favorite stuff of this Cher era, this Cher-a.
There you go. I
Yes.
like that
The
pointer.
Cher-a's tour. Yeah.
So the debut album of Sonny and Cher was called Look at Us, and that's the one that has I Got You Babe on it. But that was released in 1965, the same month actually that Cher's debut album as a solo artist came out. So it really was like at the exact same time. And I wonder if it was even a thing of like, let's see which thing hits and then we'll try them both at, you know, concurrently, and the public will decide. Cher became eligible. So because of that, 1965, that means Cher became, well, actually, you know, it's because of All I Really Want to Do. That was the first single. And so because of that, which the solo album, is 1965. So she became eligible for the Rock Hall as a solo artist in 1991, which was a long time ago. We are inducting people who started their career after 1991. At this point, she has never been on a ballot before, not by herself, not with Sonny. And she has, there's no real involvement also in any ceremonies in any significant way that I could find. I did find that she attended the 1993 ceremony. I found pictures from that. That's the first one they did in Los Angeles. And she did an interview for the Tina Turner package, which looked like a new interview that they did just for that. But otherwise, for someone who could have shown up, I think, at any point, and I'm curious if they ever asked her, no real involvement with the hall.
Yeah, and does that have anything to do with how long it's taken to get her on a ballot? One wonders.
If she showed up for something at some point, whether it was like, I don't know what her relationship with Phil Spector was, but when Phil was inducted, or any
I
of
think
these
she
people.
hated him. Yeah,
Yeah,
so.
I mean, that would be that. That seems right. That's what I would have guessed. But yeah, I mean, there were plenty of opportunities, I think, for her to show up and do something. And as we see, you do that when we have just on this ballot, Lenny Kravitz, Dave Matthews, Peter Frampton, all people who showed up recently and have returned or made the ballot for the first time, seemingly because of that. It certainly didn't hurt. So, but you know, Cher does her own thing.
Yes.
Cher's not interested in playing any games. And we have to respect that. All right, so what we're gonna do is let's take a little bit of a break, and then when we come back, we'll jump into these the categories and really get into the story of Cher and her.
Sharing her solo career. That's what I'm curious kind of about the break. How did she like really
We'll
come.
get into all of that and her many comebacks when we come back after
Oh.
this break.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We hope you had a nice break. First things first, if you're enjoying this podcast and you want to hear more content, of course, you can go to patreon.com/rockallpod, listen to our voter episodes.
Oh, a new way to come back from the break. Now,
why not remind people? We're putting out extra stuff. It tis the season. But yeah, let's talk about this first category, iconic/recognizable songs. And I want to do so chronologically, just so we can kind of tell the story as we hit these pillars of these songs. And I think even though it is a duet, I think you do kind of start with I Got You, Babe.
Babe, I got you, babe. I got you, babe.
Which was a smash hit for Sonny and Cher. And still at that time where Sonny's trying to push Cher as a solo star with him producing, but that's like a big break in a song that everyone still knows, whether you know it from Groundhog Day or you just know it as like a emblematic song of the 60s. It's
whether you saw it on a lip sync show in the 80s.
That's the other thing. It's like it's the type of show of song that could show up in like a stupid TV show. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it has that kind of power.
Is that the one? Is that the video they're watching in the Beavis and Butthead that Cher is there? It might be. I know there's like they're watching. I think she's on it too, right? I'm trying to. There definitely is a Beavis and Butthead where they're watching.
Yes,
like
it's I Got
a
You,
Cher
babe.
Video. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's like the remake of it. They made a new video for it in the 80s or something.
Yeah,
and they're like making fun of Sunny and being like she's a babe.
No,
but the first kind of Cher like big solo single was in 1966, and it was Bang Bang, My Baby Shot Me Down.
Classic.
Bang, bang, he shot me down, bang, bang, I hit the ground, bang, bang, that awful sound, bang, bang, my baby shot me down.
I think her covering that song, though, yes.
That's actually Sonny wrote that song.
Oh.
Which is, I know, like that's like a weird forgotten fact, I feel like.
That's one of those ones where it's like, then you learn, because it's Nancy Sinatra is like the.
Yeah, I think Cher's, I'm looking this up, but I think Cher's version was first.
I believe so,
and
yeah.
Then, yeah.
And then, when Nancy did it, it was.
That because I think that is like the, you know, that's one of those ones where the cover is actually. Yeah, I mean, where the more known version is the cover or something.
Maybe.
Yeah. But this, it was a number two on the Billboard Hot 100 for Cher.
Right.
In 66. So
nice.
And I think What was that?
Sonny wrote that.
Yeah, Sonny wrote that. And I think I just assumed it was a Sonny and Cher song. I guess because I just associate that era with them. And it is technically. It's like,
yeah, it's the sound.
It's like Sonny wrote it and Cher sang it.
Yeah, and Sonny's also producing these records as well. So the sound is very obviously very similar. Yeah, and so it's funny when we talk about recognizable and we get to a point where we're talking about songs that are like almost 60 years old. It's like, yeah, you're not like hearing this one that often, but I do think it's one of that era from them that endures. And it's her first solo hit. And again, like it's from an album. When we talk about how involved Sonny was, the album is called The Sunny Side of Cher, Sonny spelled with an O.
There you go. So...
So as much of a solo career as this is, you know, it's Sonny, his DNA is in there in a big way. And at this time, there's a good amount of hits for Sonny and Cher, like in 66 and 67. But the only real hit for Cher solo that she has really for the rest of the 60s is a song called You Better Sit Down, Kids, from 1967.
You better sit down, kids. I'll tell you why, kids. You might not understand, kids, but give it a try, kids.
Went to number nine.
Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves is...
That's not till later.
Oh, okay.
That's not till later. But it just, we're talking about the 60s. It's... Yeah, and I can't say that I know You Better Sit Down, Kids.
I mean, I've heard someone say that before.
Sure. I know the phrase, but I don't think they coined it.
But beyond that, no.
But yeah, is this one that registers with you, Lindsay?
I can't say I know it either.
Yeah.
But
you know, no, a top 10 hit for what it's worth. And the rest of the
good for her.
Yes, good for Cher. But the rest of the 60s was kind of a tough period for both her and them. They're both acts, solo and duo, are dropped from their respective labels. They make some unsuccessful movies, including William Friedkin's debut film, Good Times, which is a Sonny and Cher movie. It is crazy.
Yeah, it's supposed to be terrible. It's something I've like always wanted to seek out and see.
That was a real
shock.
I think I
found it on YouTube once and like watched a scene or two just to confirm that it's a real thing, and it is.
Yeah. Very strange. Did not know that. Legendary filmmaker William Friedkin began his feature career with a Sonny and Cher movie. But around this time, they get married, they have a kid. They kind of start doing a nightclub routine as like a last resort in a way. And it's bad. They have a bad nightclub routine and people start to like, the legend is people would like heckle and Cher would heckle back and then Sonny would get mad at her and then she would heckle him. And then all of this,
and
like,
then everyone's like, this would be a great TV show. These guys are funny.
Yeah.
It, like, no,
kinda,
I mean, hey.
It like kind of worked. And so then they did that act on some shows, some variety shows on TV. And then off of that, they get their own variety show, the Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour in 1971, which is a big success. And I think, you know, there's many lasting images from that show because of Cher's kind of Bob Mackie designed outfits. Yeah.
The outfits, the looks, the also juxtaposition of the two of them. I mean, like as a comedic duo, just like it really works. And also I just think it's really funny that, yeah, you could just be like known for being a singer. And then you just, next thing you know, you joked your way into a comedy variety hour.
Yeah.
Those were the times.
Man. But yeah, like you said, as a comedy duo, it does really work, like kind of dorky guy and then like beautiful, almost like exotic woman with these crazy, outlandish headpieces and dresses and, you know, glamour and goofus, so to speak,
yes,
to change a duo. But it's so because this show is a hit, then they get a record deal again, but it's at this point Cher, you know, she does her first album without Sonny. And this is when she gets the big hit of Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves. Which is her first number one. solo hit, and that's 1971. And I would say this is definitely one that has stuck around. And like, you know, if you have to pick like a Cher solo hit from that time, this might be the one that you pick. It's a signature hit for her. And it's funny that this is like considered to be a comeback. Like this is maybe like the first
a few years later
of many. I mean, it's like it's been 4 years, which in the 60s, like, is a long time. Now, like, if someone's 4 years in between releases, it's like not that crazy.
Like, Rihanna is still famous.
Yeah, right?
Will be for a long time.
But back then, you had to like release shit at least once a year, or you would fall off. You look at any band or artist output from that time, they have to crank them out. But yeah, 4 years qualified as a comeback. And comeback she did. And she would have a few other really big hits in the 70s. In 1973, she has a song called Half Breed.
Half Breed, that's all I ever heard. Half Breed, how I love to hate the world. Half Breed, she's no good to warn. Both sides were against me since the day I was born.
Yeah, this is sort of her problematic title era, I would say.
Yes, there's yeah, exactly. This is the second of what I would call a trio of
problematic of she wouldn't have a hit with called that today.
No, of
and
any,
what's
any
the
of
next
these,
one?
Really. Yep. So you know, and the thing is, these are also hits, right? Because Half Breed goes to number one. Also, to be clear, Cher is Armenian.
Yes.
Although at the time,
I saw her last name when I just looked at her Wikipedia page, and I was like, she's got to be Armenian.
She's
just
Armenian.
I learned living in near Glendale.
Right. But at the time, she's claiming a little bit of Cherokee heritage, whether that's true or not. But it feels almost like so that she can sing this song, she like has to say that she's, you know, somewhat, it's somewhat autobiographical. And then, of course, the third problematic to complete the trio in 1974 is a song called Dark Lady.
Dark Lady laughed and danced and lit the candles one by one. Danced to her gypsy music till the blues dawned.
What's it about?
It's about like a conniving fortune teller. So it's dark in the sense of like dark magic.
Okay. Okay.
And this one went to number one as well. Like it was a formula
that
was
working. It was the 70s.
Yeah.
It was the 70s.
Hey, and you know, the sunny is gone.
Yeah.
The darkness shall rise.
Darkness shall rise. Wow. Okay.
The sun has set.
I didn't know about Dark Lady. I'm glad that it is just more of a continuation of this indigenous appropriation rather than just a pivot.
Yeah, you know, this does she use the word gypsy in this one? Absolutely, out of the gate, pretty much. But at this point, so that's another this is including I Got You, Babe. This is four number one hits, which for a female artist at the time is a record. And so she's kind of on top of the world. And, you know, she's still putting out, even though she's making these records without Sonny, she's still making Sonny and Cher records at this time. And she still has the TV show and she's touring. And so she's super busy at this time, which leads up to she does, you know, get divorced from Sonny in 74, finalized in 75. And then they each try to do solo TV shows.
Oh, I wonder whose does better.
Well, really neither. And what they have to do is they get back together, not as a romantic couple, but as TV hosts for a revival of the Sonny and Cher show in 76.
They're like, I need you, babe.
Yeah, like, right.
You're no good without the foil. I just can't. I mean, I think people would tune in to watch like a hot lady wear cool outfits and sing with her famous friends more than they would tune in to watch a not like professional comedian dork guy kind of do the same thing.
Yeah. But the revival show doesn't even really do that great. It's only around for about a year. And at this time, this is when she's married to Greg Allman of the Allman Brothers Band, Rock Hall inductees in 1995. But musically, she's kind of in the wilderness at this point. She splits with Greg and she gets together with another Hall of Famer. Do you guys know who that is? They don't get married, but she's with him for a bit of time. It's a funny one. It's Gene Simmons.
Wow. Oh,
that's right. Yeah. What a couple.
Yeah. Both
each other's makeup.
Yeah.
And hairspray and everything, like outfits. I can see it actually.
Yeah. Yeah,
mutually beneficial from a from a stage makeup, from a hair and makeup point of view. In 1979, she goes disco and releases a song
for
called
the first time.
Yeah, called Take Me Home from an album of the same name. Is this a comeback? Maybe. You know, if 4 years counted last time, this was 5 years. And this is I wouldn't say I know this song, but it did go to number 8, so it's a top 10 hit.
It's the cover of this album is incredible. If like what I actually have with? It, I pulled some Share records to prepare for this, and I do have this record, and I might just need to.
Yeah, no, grab that, grab that. I really want to see. Oh my god!
Oh, I just looked it up. Wow.
This looks like the type of villain that the Power Rangers would have to face.
Yeah, sure. I think you found it on Google.
Yeah.
I had this on display in my apartment for a while.
I mean, hell yeah.
You know, it's,
what year
it's great,
is that? This
is 79.
79. Yeah. Nice. So look at the back too.
For our listeners. She's wearing she's wearing a gold bikini, like a gold metal
bikini.
It's like really, and then kind of like a headpiece, like a butterfly dragon wing framing her face headpiece kind of thing. We'll put some images online and you can always Google it.
Yeah, you should Google it.
We just did the Ozzy Osbourne episode not too long ago, and a lot of his album covers look like, you know, fantasy book covers from the 80s. And I'm like, that is right there. That looks like she could be brandishing a sword on the cover of a fantasy novel in the 80s as well.
She actually does have a sword on the back cover. Yeah, I didn't notice that before.
And see, there she is. She's got one in her hip, just kind of right there close to her bare leg. Yeah. And she's looking incredible.
Yeah. No one's ever looked better than Cher looks on this album.
It's quite stunning. Yeah. You'll have to put it down, 'cause I'm going to be distracted by looking at it. After this, in 1980, she starts a rock band called Black Rose, which is unsuccessful, and they only last a year. And, you know, it's, at this point, it's like, is she more comfortable just with comebacks? Because she, at this point, she does not release music for a while. This is when she's focusing on acting. She's in Silkwood and Mask and Moonstruck. She wins an Oscar for being in Moonstruck in 1987. And 87 is a big year for Cher because, you guessed it, she has a comeback.
There you go. She's gotta have another one. This is number three, are we calling this?
Yeah, I think so.
I think this is.
And this is one this is not what I think of when I think of Cher coming back in the 80s, but she links up with Michael Bolton and John Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora from Bon Jovi, who help her produce an album that's just called Cher, and it has the top 10 song, I Found Someone. Which I'd forgotten about. And Michael Bolton wrote that song.
That tracks.
Yeah.
You can imagine him singing it. It's a different song, him singing it, but you could really imagine Michael Bolton. I found someone. Like you could, that's the same thing. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And I feel like you could hear the Bon Jovi in it too.
Yeah. She was dating Richie Sambora at the time, I think, right?
I think you're right.
That's another in the,
long list of rock and roll boyfriends.
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't think I knew this song, but then I listened to it and I immediately recognized it.
Yeah, I forgot about this one too. But
and you know what? I was kind of digging it.
Oh yeah. I mean, I like immediately. I did not listen to that song to prepare for this episode, but I definitely know it. Like I remember it. So that one, huh?
But it's really the next album.
Yes.
89's Heart
Oh,
of
yeah.
Stone.
Oh,
That,
yeah.
you know, that
Oh,
has
yeah.
possibly shares most enduring song and classic, which is If I Could Turn Back Time.
What a
jam.
Went to number
Really
three.
great.
We talked about the iconic music video already.
Great.
Yeah. I was a few minutes late on this call because I put that song on and I couldn't turn it off until I heard the key change. Like I was like, this feels wrong. And then we got there and it was fine, but what a song.
Can't abandon that song before you get to the key change.
No.
And I did look it up. She's on the USS Missouri.
Oh.
That is the
Okay.
that's the ship that she's on with the sailors. And like, you know, we've talked about, you see the butt tattoo and like her full ass is out. She's 43 at this point,
I was just gonna say,
which
how old is she? So she's 43, and this is the 80s, and so people are just like, excuse me, ma'am, don't you have a sweater to put on
Yep.
and bangs to feather?
But when they
Like,
see her, I don't think they're saying that because she looks
no,
great.
they're saying,
Hey
ma'am,
now. Yes,
excuse
ma'am.
me, ma'am. That they're saying, yes, ma'am. They went from excuse me, ma'am to yes, ma'am. Oh, that's good. Good for her. I mean, I fully remember that video being like a huge deal. And I remember her hair being so big at this time.
Oh,
Her hair
yeah.
was huge. I mean, everybody's hair was huge, but she was out there. She was leading the forefront of the hair as well.
Yeah, for someone whose hair was so straight and you know,
Yes,
flat.
straight in the 60s and 70s. I don't know. She found a crimper somewhere. She
She found
found
someone to blow that hair
Brazilian
out.
long locks.
She's got other hits around this time, like a duet with Peter Cetera from Chicago, another Hall of Famer. That song's called After All. It was nominated for an Academy Award for being in a movie that I don't know called Chances Are with Robert Downey Jr. And it went to number six. I gotta say, I don't really know this song. I recognize it was a big hit, but not really hearing
It's like a generic love ballad. I mean, it feels like, I mean, I definitely had heard it before, but I was like, would never have remembered it.
After all,
After all,
damn.
chances are I wouldn't have remembered it after all.
I looked up what that movie is. It's about like a woman losing her boyfriend when she's a teenager, and then later in life, he comes back in another body, and it's Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, like loses in that way.
Yeah,
I know
no.
when you said loses, I really was just like, and then they get back together later in life. But
No,
no,
no, no.
he's just
Like,
his soul goes to another person's body.
ghost boyfriend.
Yes. And so it's like Cybill
They should have called
Shepherd.
it ghost boyfriend. I
That
think it
would
would have done
be,
better.
I agree. Yeah.
But yeah, no. It's Cybill Shepherd is the woman, and a young Robert Downey Jr. is the reincarnated.
So it's like he's younger than her is the
Yes,
thing.
and
It's
that's
like
part of the
when he
premise.
dies, his soul goes to a new body. It's not like it takes over somebody who's her same age.
Correct. And so she was
Ooh.
a teenager when he died, and then
Okay.
now she's twice that age, but there's a new teen.
There's a new.
A little
Oh God, and
saucy.
is he a teenager?
I think he might be playing a teenager or somebody, you
Oh,
know,
they really
very
were
young.
doing stuff, man. Yikes.
Chances are, what are the chances, you know?
A song that you didn't include that I remembered from this time as well is Just Like Jesse James. I don't know if that a music video or something, but I feel like it was played like on the radio or something because we didn't own, like, my household did not own like the Cher album or something. I didn't grow up in kind of a Cher fan household, but I definitely had heard that song Just Like Jesse James. I think it was like a minor radio hit.
Yeah, I think
I think you're right.
it was
Yeah.
a top 10 hit. This one was written by Diane Warren, speaking of
There you
songs for
go. There
movies.
you go. Come
And
on.
also
Who wrote Turn Back Time too? She
yes.
was like on one
reliable hit maker of this era, and also Desmond Child, who wrote a lot of the Bon Jovi songs around this time. So yeah, just like Jesse James, which is a lyric from a Warren Zevon song, or Poor Pitiful Me. In 1990, for the Mermaid soundtrack, which she is in, she does a cover of the Shoop Shoop song. And I feel like I have definitely heard her version of this song out in the wild.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I definitely have heard this, her version of the song, way more than I would ever heard the other.
Betty Everett, I think, is the 60s version. Yeah, but really, it's after that it starts to taper off. As is the story with Cher. At this point, we're getting used to it. Like
very iconic '90s movie, Winona Ryder. I think Christina Ricci's in it.
Yeah,
a lot of just wow. What a trio!
And not actually mermaids. Don't go into it expecting to see.
Oh yeah, they're not mermaids. No,
it's more of a metaphor.
Yeah, they all get in their little bathtub together, though. It's cute.
Yeah,
a type of mermaid, I suppose. but there's really nothing in for most of the '90s for Cher, but we know not to count her out. And here comes 1998, dance pop smash, Believe.
Do you believe in life after love? I can feel something inside me say, I really don't think you're strong enough.
Yep, there it is.
Hits number one in 1999, becomes the biggest single of the year. It's number one in 23 other countries, 11 million copies for that single alone. And she's at the forefront of the auto-tune revolution.
And I think the oldest female artist ever to go to number one at 52.
Yeah. Sure. Until probably Brenda Lee last year.
Yeah. Yes.
But yeah. And, you know, this is, Believe is number 337 on Rolling Stone's 500 songs list that they put out a few years back. Yeah, she
337.
Yeah, that feels low.
I would have put it higher. If you had me guess, which you didn't, I would have put it higher.
I don't know. She's competing with the Beatles. Like,
okay,
I think it's a decent placement. But I would say that's of, and we've covered a lot of ground here. But I would say that's probably it. You know, after this, there's no more like real massive comebacks, but that's.
We can't include the Mamma Mia soundtrack.
I don't think so. I mean,
that's like a micro comeback, I would say. The ABBA tour and yeah. Yeah.
How come she's not on Feud, the season of Feud, where like everyone is also having a comeback as well?
It seems like Ryan Murphy would cast Cher in something if he could.
That's what I mean. Like Demi Moore is. There's a lot of actresses out there, and I think that Ryan Murphy's probably got eyes on Cher.
She's busy hanging out with her very young boyfriend.
That is true.
Yeah, she's very busy right now.
Yeah, she got her hands full. Chances are,
there it is.
Let's go to the next category, which is albums that are considered all-time classics. And I will pose the question, do you guys think she has any albums on Rolling Stone's 500 greatest albums list, either version?
Albums?
Mm-hmm.
I say no. I think that the catalog is, if it was any, it would be that one from the 80s with If I Could Turn Back Time, but like, we went through the catalog pretty fast and nothing was giving like a full album, like critical Rolling Stone in particular, liking Cher solo. I don't super see that, but that's just my.
That's your guess. Lindsay, what do you think?
I'm going to say yes, just for the sake of variety.
Yes.
Do you have a choice which one that would be?
I would say Heart of Stone.
Okay. The big comeback album in the 80s. Well, on the Rolling Stone 500 albums list, there is no Cher.
Okay. I was like,
if it was album covers, that would be another story.
That's right. What is that one called? That one's called
Take Me Home.
Take Me Home.
Yeah,
it's really nice. It's the album cover Cher logo too. Saying,
"Take me home. You need me in your
home." But I mean, I would say Cher is a singles artist when it comes down to it.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, she's not putting out any concept albums or even, you know, the product of the album, I think, is to deliver the singles.
Yes.
And that kind of bridges us to the next category, which is critical acclaim. And I think in terms of the critics' response to Cher, I think it's like probably a little spotty, but I would say in retrospect, especially after all this time, it would be hard to judge the career as a whole. You know, I don't think she's claimed, I don't think she's hailed as like a critically acclaimed, like multidimensional artist, but I think she gets points for being an enduring talent.
Yes.
Yeah, I think she's someone who has not been taken seriously most of her career and been more of like a punchline than someone who got the sort of critical respect. And I think that's true in Hollywood and definitely like in her music as well. Like I just know in the 80s when she's starting out to like prove herself as an actress, she really was like having to prove herself. Like there's a story that she went to see a preview of Silkwood, which was like the second film she was in, I think. And when her name came up in the trailer, people laughed in the audience. Mm. And then that just like ignited the fire even more. She was like, I'll show you. And then she got nominated for an Oscar for that movie. Like, mm-hmm. She's really good in Silkwood. So I think there's like, that's part of the Cher story too, that like, you know, people are going to like laugh in the beginning and she's like, I'll show you. And then she does show them. And so again, I think going back to like why she's not been on the ballot yet, I don't think she's been like a critically respected artist historically, but I think certain things that are like shifting in culture, plus this idea of her as this, you know, living legend and kind of elder stateswoman of, as you know, to have lived through all of the different eras that we just went through, I think there, you know, she gets points for sticking around, but I think she's underrated as a musician and as a vocalist and interpreter of other people's songs too, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we check in with Robert Christgau, self-acclaimed dean of rock critics, to get an idea.
I can imagine he is a Cher fan, but prove me wrong.
Also, and I just was thinking about, we'll get into it. I'll save it for the like, you know, kind of influence and legacy portion.
Okay. So Christgau says he has a soft spot in his heart for unabashed brass, mm-hmm. and thus finds her biggest hits irresistible.
I love that for him.
Okay.
Seems a little that's begrudging, great. But he can't resist. And, you know, that's a good sign, I think, for Cher.
Definitely. Well, and when you think about and this will probably come up in the verdict area, but like when you think about like when many of the, you know, older men in this voting body got their first boners, it was. And so like that, you could hear it in that man's review. Like,
I totally don't make me grab the album cover again.
Spot for brassy women, like
a bit, of a hard spot too.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
A bit of a hard spot, Christgau. I think that's going to, it has worked to her advantage and to her disadvantage in the past, like being such a beautiful woman. I would say probably more of an advantage overall. But, you know, I think that's going to be helpful in this arena as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think you're right. Let's go to commercial success. That's next category. One of the best selling artists of all time. Like, full stop.
Mic drop.
Yeah. Like, sometimes it's hard when it goes back to the 60s and like the reports of how many records are sold are not tracked the way they are now. But 100 million albums is the claim. That, you know, roughly, which is crazy. 6 gold albums, 4 platinum or multi-platinum. What else is there to say? There's really no argument. And like we were talking about before, it was like she was the first woman to hit 4 number one solo singles. It's like, yeah, no, it's crazy. And also to talk about the next category, longevity, she's doing all this over the course of like 1966 to 1999.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
gets higher points for longevity than Cher. Like,
yeah, I don't
period.
Think so. I really don't think so.
Especially on this ballot.
I mean,
oh yeah,
Mariah's got probably in the second spot, but
yep,
like
there you go, my gals.
it's
Divas live, let's go.
Oh my god, yes.
Really, let's
I've been wanting them to bring back Divas Live for so long. It's a personal dream of mine.
Let's go.
I feel like it would do well.
Divas.
Yeah. I feel like we're ready for it.
Yes.
We're looking to break the internet. If that's a thing we want to do, come on.
Hey, duck the Divas.
But yeah, longevity.
Longevity, her career. Well, and yeah, just like, you know, that is, she's had so many comebacks as well. Like, how amazing. And a kind of a varied career. I think that one thing that's interesting about Cher, it's like it happens to a lot of artists. I feel like, you know, the LL Cool J effect didn't happen to her necessarily, because which is like where she becomes more of a personality, thought of as more of a personality, more of a TV host or an actor or like a film actor than a, you know, musical artist. I still think she is thought of as a personality for sure. But I do think that the number one thing you think of with Cher is that she's a singer.
I think so. And also to your point, I think the kind of difference between her and how LL Cool J has approached his career is like Cher is not hosting anything like Lip Sync Battle. You know, she's not showing up in, she's not a regular in a procedural like NCIS LA. She has more of a mystique that way.
Yeah, like she's so ubiquitous. Like she's, you know, she's Cher. She's like a synonym for famous. But at the same time, like there's certain things you still feel like she's not going to do. Mm-hmm. And she's not going to do something she doesn't want to do. Sort of going back to this point of her not really like having this history of glad handing the Rock Hall or showing up for other, you know, like she, there's both like a ubiquity and an elusiveness to her, yes, which I think is part of the appeal.
Yeah.
And that's hard to maintain over a long time too.
Yeah. I've really failed to do that.
We're all trying.
I don't have enough mystery about me.
I don't think you can do, I think you can't, no one can do that if you're, you know, weren't around, you know, 30 plus years ago. Like, but you know, I feel like when Cher is involved in something, it's an event.
Oh,
like
yeah.
If Cher showed up as like a presenter at Cher is at the level where she could be a surprise presenter at the Academy Awards.
Yes.
And, yeah. And it would get people talking. They'd be like, that's crazy. And there's not a lot of people who are kind of in that echelon, I think. It's
good
yeah,
point.
She doesn't seem desperate. She doesn't seem sweaty. I mean, no. I think it's part of the reason why she felt like she had to badmouth the Hall. As little as like, you know, less than a year ago, and how it has come up in interviews where people ask her about the Hall, and that Cher is not going to be the type of the person who's going to say like, oh gosh, well that would be such an honor.
Oh gee, I'd love to.
She's not doing that. She has to.
Wait,
say,
what did she say? I forgot.
She said, fuck that place. If they inducted me, I wouldn't go. I don't want to be in there. And you know, she went hard, and it wasn't the first time. She had tweeted about it before. I think maybe it was like Bette Midler like brought it up on Twitter and was like, I can't believe Cher's not in the Hall. And she was like,
another person just wiling out on Twitter too is Bette Midler.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
And Cher was just like, fuck them. No. But Cher has been very silent since the ballot has come out. I will say that.
He's not like, my boyfriend's a real rock and roll freak and doesn't think that I should do it.
Yeah, she's not pulling a dolly. In either way. But yeah, it's interesting. And there I've heard theories that this all was a work. This was a kind of a setup to be on the ballot, which is that like, because it's like, why was it being asked? I mean, I guess it could be a question that someone would come up with, but you know, the timing was very interesting where it sets up a little bit of a dramatic storyline where she's like, she's refusing it before it even happens. And like, I don't want to be a part. And then she gets the nomination and then, you know, we'll get to whether or not she shows up, but let's talk about influence, which is the next category. And, you know, I think she's hugely important as like a female pop and rock star, and also as like an androgynous one, which I think sometimes we lose that, we kind of forget, especially when we think of the 80s and she's presenting as very feminine. But like in the 60s, her voice was like deep in a way that was new to listeners. And she didn't wear gender conforming clothes. And there are stories of people hearing Cher and being like, I don't understand. This doesn't sound like a feminine voice. I'm like confused. I am a 60s person watching TV and I don't understand. But I think there's something to that that isn't brought up very often, is like the kind of her approach, both visually and her as a vocal stylist.
Yeah, I think there were some early, you know, we were talking about her solo career happening simultaneously to the duets with Sunny. And like, I've read that some people thought her solo things were duets with someone else, because there's like, she has that really low masculine register and then can go higher, but not like super high. And yeah, I think that was, you know, I think you mentioned that the Ringo novelty song, that there's like a, mm-hmm. there's a possibly apocryphal story that, you know, so the reason that song was not a hit, it was called like, I Love You Ringo something. And people thought it was a gay man
yeah.
singing about Ringo yeah. and that, you know, in 1965 or whatever, they're like, oh, we're not touching this. That.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's something that's like followed through her career and has made her feel like very ahead of her time and can clearly play up like the high femme stuff in,
yeah.
you know, the album cover we saw. But then like, you know, I've seen her do like Elvis drag before. You know, she really, I think she still like leans into that, you know, the range of her voice and the range of her presentation, and her style and her gender presentation too. Like it feels like almost like, yeah, something that's kind of taken for granted about her, but I think was very ahead of its time and continues to kind of make her feel contemporary, like some of that older stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's, you know, she's an OG diva. Like she's been called the goddess of pop. And I know it's not necessarily a musical influence. Maybe it is to some degree, but even just like the outlandish way she dressed, you can see that in Lady Gaga or Katy Perry or yeah. whoever, you know.
Miley Cyrus, I think, is definitely an heir of Cher.
A Cher-er.
If I will, a Cher-er. Yeah. She was, she actually... Miley Cyrus at the Grammys this year wore Bob Mackie in her performance. And I wow. know that because I described her outfit as Bob Mackie-esque. And then we got a correction tip that was like, no, Bob Mackie actually designed that outfit that she was wearing. So, dang. And had like hair to the heavens and everything. So definitely like stylistically channeling Cher. But I think there's that androgynous yeah. quality to the voice too, I think is very Miley. You know, so I do see that, hear that.
Yeah, totally. All right. We've got artistry / skill, which we've been talking about. And I think this is maybe an issue for some of the purists because she's not a songwriter. But, you know, Cher as a vocalist, like we've been saying, she's unique. She's a stylist. Her range is interesting and different. And I just think you'd have a hard time arguing that Cher isn't like an amazing talent. And she has so many accolades. It is really hard to keep up. I cannot have a list of just her accolades. I mean, we're talking like rarefied air accolades, like the Kennedy Center honors. And just anytime there's a listing of like the greatest women in rock or music, Cher is always towards the top.
Yeah, I guess there is that, like you said, the purest... Mm-hmm. sort of question of like, is she rock or not? And like, I mean, I think that is the sort of dog whistle question mm-hmm. for a lot of this stuff. And I think a lot of the legends, frankly, that haven't been inducted yet are people that, you know, we've been unfairly asking that question of for too long. Like, I think, I think she's a rock star, but I also think we need to have a pretty loose definition of that term to be more inclusive in the 21st century. That, you know, so it's interesting to see her on the ballot alongside like Dave Matthews Band and Oasis and Jane's Addiction and these, you know, younger bands that scan as like rock in this more masculine and kind of traditional way, like they were on the alt rock station and, you know, everything like that. But like, what really is a rock star if not Cher? You know?
Yeah. And she has plenty of proximity to rock and roll Hall of Famers, let alone rock and roll artists that, yeah. I mean, she's coming out of like the Phil Spector crew. It just seems like she's got the cred, or should have the cred, if people did their freaking research. And I'm wagging my finger.
And I mean, I also just agree that like it's I think to a lot of people, rock is a vibe. It's like, what does it scan as? And that tends to be male and masculine. And I think that like, as we just continue to like open it up more and more and get newer and newer artists, it feels like we're going to like scoop out kind of all the obvious like white male bands from the 90s and stuff. And then we will eventually get the rest in. But it does, it feels, it's like from the 90s, what are you going to get? You're going to get like kind of the most, you know, like obvious scans as rock kind of acts. And then, you know, and then you look, then they'll look back and be like, oh, and Cher. Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. I think that Frampton will get in, and I think Cher will also get in though, because I'm skipping. You're jumping the gun. I know. I'm just thinking about her as a cultural figure. You know, she is rock, like, mm-hmm. Also, as a cultural figure, she is like stands for rock in some ways. Like, you know, that 80s album was rock. It was what rock was in the 80s. Mm-hmm. It was called
Heart of Stone.
Like Heart of Stone is like, that is a rock album. That is an 80s rock album. Many bands that are in the hall have an album that's just like that, you know? And so to kind of say, oh, because she's a woman or because she did dance music as well, like that makes her less rock. It's a frustrating distinction. And I just think she's a real cool, like, icon of a person. I wonder, yeah. And the quote that I wanted to bring up was the Mama, I Am That Rich Man quote, which is like also gone on to be like, you know, Taylor Swift has that like on a painting in her bedroom, you know, like that, her famous quote of like, my mom always kept telling me, you know, I want you to marry a rich man. I want you to marry a rich man. And I said, Mom, I am that rich man. Like, you know, and that is feminism. Mm-hmm. That's feminism right in the mainstream.
Feminist Pagliacci.
that's pretty cool.
Well, let's wrap this up. Last category, does my mom know who they are? Ha ha ha. Everyone's mom knows who Cher is, and dad and children. It's just like everybody knows who Cher is. She's one of the, as we've stressed again and again, she's one of the most ubiquitous people. So let's just do the verdict. Should she, will she, will it be this year? Kristen, you're already starting to get there, so I'll let you kind of finish your piece.
Well, you know, it's got to be a triple yes from me. Yeah. And I'm hopeful. It would be really frustrating if she didn't get in this year. But I don't think that that's likely. I think it's really likely. I think the Stevie Nicks of it all, the kind of just, you see the name Cher and you go, oh, she's not in yet. Like, we all know Cher. And like, it's less so necessarily with the people that we're talking to. Like, I always, again, get, when we start talking to our voters, I start to like, my worldview gets skewed. But I think that when you think of the population at large, even just the voting population of the Rock Hall, Cher's too big to fail. And mm-hmm. she shouldn't. And, you know, chances are,
hey,
she'll get in. Woo!
Very good. There All it right, is. Lindsay. Should she, will she, will it be this year?
Yes, yes, yes. I think the question, the bigger question is, will she show up? Mm-hmm. And will she sort of participate with the pageantry? And I think probably, I was going to say if they could convince Dolly, but I think Cher is like kind of a different animal though. Like she's got that fuck you in her that
And
And
I straight up said it. So,
yeah. And
yes.
like,
And Dolly would never. Yeah.
no.
Yeah. So I think that's the intrigue I more have an eye on of like how is she going to accept this honor that she very much deserves, and is she going to bring up how overdue it is too? Because I think there's like, while it's an honor for her to get in, it is this like kind of, slight backwards or backhanded compliment of, reminding people that she hasn't already been inducted. But at the same time, she, what is this if not the last comeback? Like, or not the last. I never want to count her out, but maybe this is just another form of a comeback for Cher to get in this late in the Rock Hall.
Interesting.
And maybe if you pitch it to her that way,
Yeah, something she we
she'll
know she
show up
loves.
w wearing this outfit.
Yes, where
Yeah, I shouldn't have brought a visual prop to a podcast, but you can imagine
Oh yeah, we'll
what.
screenshot that. That'll go in
Yeah.
the
No doubt.
episode.
I mean, you guys are right. It's three S's all the way. She should, she will, it will be this year. She is too big to fail. Legends on the ballot always do well. It is like seeing Tina Turner on the ballot. It is like seeing any of those names. It's similar to Dolly. It's similar to Willie. It's like gigantic names that everybody knows, regardless of the musical output. I think even the musical output is going to, obviously, it's going to help. The case is there. We've talked about it, but it does not matter at this point. Cher gets in because she's Cher. Probably the same way Ozzy gets in because he's Ozzy. These are just how it's difficult to look at a ballot and not check that box. I think any of the issues with the genre gatekeeping or whatever you want to say about her career was an issue for getting on the ballot. Now that she's on the ballot, it's smooth sailing. But let's, and we're talking about if she'll show up. Let's talk about that. Let's get it. Let's talk about if she, when she gets in this year, what that looks like. Like I said, she's been quiet. She was
Think
characteristically.
that bodes well for her showing up.
I think so too. And
That
you
she's
know,
not out here going, you know what? They think they can nominate me after all this time. Well, I don't even want to be, like I think she's kind of like, okay, well, we'll see.
well, she was also a big MTV artist, and
Oh, nice in the house.
I just pulled it up. I was like, can I find a picture of Cher with John Sykes? And I found one from this year,
Okay, 2024.
24.
All
And
right.
so John Sykes took over as chairman very recently. And there's kind of your loophole in terms of being mad at the hall. They stumped me for so long. I can target that, whether it's true or not. The perfect punching bag is Jan Wenner. You can
Don is
even
gone.
look at, we ousted him recently, even though insiders know he hadn't been pulling any strings for quite some time. And you can say, and John Sykes personally can be like, it's a new hall, it's a new day.
It's a new Shara. It's
It's
a
a
new
new
era
Shara.
of Shara. It's a new
And
Shara.
I think he can make nice, and they can figure something out. And so I think she will show up and accept. I'm not so sure if she'll perform. That's a different question.
I think we're looking at a kind of one of those Dolly style
Hybrid.
hybrids where it's mostly tributes or like her singing along with someone who is doing her song, or like we start especially with someone else doing a full cover of a song, then we maybe get another person do another full cover, and then oh my God, Cher's in the building, and everyone else who's been covering her songs is also on stage with her, and they're all doing it.
It's
Like,
a likely jam. It's a likely
oh yeah.
finale. Like I see Cher as a headliner. But before that, someone's going to have to give a speech to induct her. Who do we think would give that speech? I've got a few names. I'm curious what you think, Lindsay.
I think Lady Gaga would be the perfect person to induct. I think she, in a lot of ways, she is the Cher of
The Cher apparent.
well, she's the Cher apparent.
The
She's the
share
Cher
apparent.
apparent, and I think she would bring the appropriate level of theatricality and melodrama to the proceedings. So, and could certainly, if not inducting her, like do a hell of a tribute. So
yes. I have some names here of people who I know are tight with Cher. And some are Hall friendly too. Christina Aguilera.
Uh-huh. Lest, Burlesque. They just do Burlesque.
Oh, yeah. Together.
Lest we forget Burlesque. Oh,
never forget God. Burlesque. Yeah.
But I believe they grew very
close. That's
another
comeback, if you ask me.
Sure.
There's a lot of micro comebacks within the, like, that's a whole other episode.
But yeah, they were the stars of the movie Burlesque, Christina and Cher. You know who did, if I could turn back time, at Cher's Kennedy Center Honors? Because, you know, for people who don't know the Kennedy Center Honors, as well as the Rock Hall, the person getting the honor does not perform. They're like sitting in the balcony as other people do tributes. And it was Cyndi Lauper.
Oh.
And, you
and
know,
that could bode well. That sets up Lauper for next year. That, you know, is it's in the pipeline.
Right.
Cindy's in the pipeline. She's coming.
I like that one.
She's definitely coming. And so that does set it up really nicely. And then she would, you know, be primed to get in the next year. Another person who's friends with Cher is RuPaul.
Ooh, we love that. Also, Cher, gay icon.
Yes, we have barely talked about that, but like a drag and queer icon sure. Like one of the biggest, I would say.
Truly. Ooh.
I mean, how many Cher drag performances have there been?
RuPaul is obsessed with Cher. Also,
right.
That's like RuPaul's favorite, like, artist of all time is Cher, and she talks about it all the time on Drag Race. And if you do a Cher impression in Snatch Game, you better really be prepared to do an insanely good Cher impression. It better, the accuracy and the knowledge better be there, or you will be red. So yeah, that would be amazing to have RuPaul do it. Yeah. That would be like a very cool, that would be cool. Also, I mean, you know, RuPaul's a boomer. Like,
yeah,
kind of Gen X, like older Gen X, young boomer. I don't know how old RuPaul is.
And so maybe if they get a bunch of people to do tribute performances, Ru can do the speech. And then one that another choice that's a very Hall choice. I don't think it would excite too many
really
people.
Quick, I'm so excited about the idea of RuPaul doing this induction because I'm like, Ru would be so funny. Ru would come out as probably himself. And
I think full Cher
drag. Yeah.
Because that's RuPaul started. Oh my gosh. But I feel like RuPaul would come out. See, now all I want to do is imagine what the RuPaul inducting Cher thing would be like. And I know we're running out of time, but I would love to see RuPaul do that speech because it would be so funny and it would be so good and loving and knowledgeable. And also, it would be great to see just like, I don't know, the Hall be a little bit gay.
Yeah,
for once.
Nice.
Would that,
So that would be cool. That's my vote, like number one with a bullet is RuPaul. That'd be amazing.
And then allow me to throw cold water on that with a very hall choice, someone who presented Cher with the Billboard Icon Award, and that's Gwen Stefani.
Boring. I mean, again, no problem, no doubt, but
there are better options out there.
Come on.
Yeah.
Of big, also bigger names, more interesting names that could and would do it probably. I mean, that's the thing, is sometimes it's difficult to get bigger names to show up, but like if you're showing up for Cher, I think you have access to some huge names.
Oh my gosh.
Chances are you do.
Chances are.
It won't be what I want it to be. That's what I know for sure.
Yeah. Somehow it'll be Adam Levine.
That's exactly what will happen. I'm like, it'll be just somehow they'll find a way to just put some straight white guy as the inductee and inducts Cher. I'm like, of all the things.
Anyway, let's talk about I think the idea of a hybrid, like tribute performances, as well as maybe a final one, but what do we think the three song set would be? And they might go more than three, but I would say, even though it's not a Cher solo song, I kind of think they got to do I Got You, Babe. Mm-hmm. Maybe kick it off with that. Do If I Could Turn Back Time, and then do Believe. Yeah. That would be my choice for
the
three.
Believe is the jam in this situation.
I think it's Turn Back Time. I would flip the order of those two in the set list. I think, because that's when you really can get everybody just belting out, you know.
That's a good point.
Trade verses on If I Could Turn Back Time. You've got that iconic key change that, you know, you were referencing earlier. Isn't there just ethos, If I Could Turn Back Time?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I like If I Could Turn Back Time as the end. But they, you know, then I think about like how they're always looking for kind of like a dance concert moment lately. That's been kind of the new thing after the Missy Elliott and the LL Cool J kind of like fun, like, you know, rave kind of vibes. So I could also see Believe. I just couldn't see anybody else jamming, being in the jam on Believe. It's just
right. I put together the running order just kind of chronologically, but you guys are right. Another thing they could do, I mean, they used to do this.
I'm sorry, did I not say the three songs I thought she should do were Gypsies, Tramps and Thieves,
Dark Lady and Half Breed.
Dark Lady. I think that's a perfect trio.
I could do those.
Wearing a headdress for sure, like awesome.
With a crystal ball.
Okay, sorry.
Just appropriating all cultures.
Yeah.
Just all of them.
But what I was going to say was, you know, sometimes with the jam, you kind of look at your final band or artist and you see if they have a notable cover that like it feels maybe a little bit like a throwback. Like when Cheap Trick closed out 2016, they had a hit with Ain't That a Shame, which is a Fats Domino song. And then they had a bunch of people come out for that. 2012, when Red Hot Chili Peppers closed it out, they famously have a cover of Higher Ground, the Stevie Wonder song, and so they had people come out for that. Pearl Jam did Keep on Rockin' in the Free World. And so if you can find an opportunity, and I think potentially you could do the Shoop Shoop song because it's like a classic song that Cher is known to cover, and then bring in people for that.
And if you have some vocalists on that year, like if Mariah is on, you know, like that could be fun.
And there's a good back and forth potential. Kind of go back to everybody who's up there. Mary J.
Or
Mariah.
They could save it for Divas Live, which is...
Yeah. Definitely...
This is the launch of... they announced the new Divas at the end of this.
Oh my gosh. If Mary, Mariah, and Cher all got in... It's not going to happen. I know that it will be the most boring
Unlikely.
Version of the ballot possible, but I get to dream. I'm allowed. That's what this show has afforded me, the chance to dream and have those dreams dashed time and again.
Well, I hope she shows up and or plays. One of the two. I mean, I hope she shows up. I think she will, but that's going to do it. Lindsay, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Do you think you would... go to Cleveland to see Cher get inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
It's in Cleveland this year?
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, the thing is, I didn't go and it was down the street.
Right,
I live within walking distance from Barclays Center. But, you know, for Cher, yeah. Mm-hmm. If Cher's going to be there,
I'd
go to Cleveland.
For Cher.
I mean, could be one for the books. Yeah, well, if that happens, we'll see you there. Otherwise, do you have anything you'd like to plug? Any final words here?
Not really. Subscribe to my newsletter, The Amplifier, on the New York Times. I make playlists and all sorts of fun things. So
yeah, little startup rag called the New York Times. Check it out. our listeners know they can, if they want exclusive content, they can go to patreon.com/rockhallpod. We are continuing to talk to Rock Hall voters about their ballots. You can only get that info and that content over there on Patreon. And they can follow us on Twitter at rockhallpod and Instagram, same handle, email rockhallpod@gmail.com. Thank you to Mike Lloyd for the logo, Yusu Kim for the music, and Pantheon Podcast for hosting us. I'm Joe Pozzala.
I'm Kristen Studdard.
And who cares
about the Rock Hall? Do you think it's going to be like her Share Well tour?
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.